The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Subscribe to the podcast. Remember, it runs twice a week. You can listen at iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, and right here at JoeBucksFan.com. Subscribe for that free alert, and then you get notified whenever the podcast pops. So kick back, enjoy the show. Here's Ira.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Thursday, Bengals Week Thursday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. The gang is back together. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper is here, but it is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. He is the sage of Tampa Bay sports. He's everywhere. He's the star of Tampa 2 with Ira Kaufman and Derek Brooks on the Identity Tampa Bays on Spectrum. He's Fox 13 Tailgate Show. That show is nothing without you, Ira.
He's a mad dog. Spectrum television. My hand's out all over town, and everybody knows it. Lee. They come up to me, what are you looking for, a dollar? Here's a, like I'm a homeless person. Here you go.
Pay the man. Like you're at an exit ramp?
Pay the man. Ira, it is good to see you. We're back on the podcast. You guys did a great job last podcast. If you didn't listen to Tuesday's edition, find it on Joe Bucks Fan or Podbean, iTunes, Google Play. You can subscribe there. You guys, that was fantastic, Ira.
Might have been a little more background noise than usual, Stephen. Might have been.
I manipulated that a bit. It was just fine.
We used the Kemper's 9-year-old phone, but it held up pretty well.
The word normalcy springs to mind. We're back to normalcy.
I'm all revved up today. You know, we're 3 days away, and I'm going to tell you why, Steve. I'm going to start you off right. And, you know, like Russo has that introduction in The Mad Dog, you know, I'm going to give you guys another lesson today. Uh-huh. I'm going to give you guys another lesson.
I'm going to give you another lesson today.
Classic rock. I'm the man. You know, who else puts out on this day in 1971, so-and-so? Yeah. You might laugh at me. There you go. You ready?
Yeah.
The Bucks are standing at the crossroads at 3-3.
Oh,
crossroads,
here we go, Eric Clapton.
A very famous song by Cream. Which, of course, it's an old blues song from the 30s. Robert Johnson was a classic blues performer. If you don't know anything about Cream, put that song on live, and you'll know everything you need to know, because that might be the greatest live blues song of all time. And here are your Buccaneers, Mr. DeKemper, standing at the NFL crossroads. Which way are they going to go on Sunday, Lee? Which way?
Well, I thought last week was the crossroads, and I used this on JoeBucksFan.com a couple times. I thought last week was a crossroads because they were facing the urinal of the NFL dog park.
Well, this is a crossroads pending ahead the trade deadline. So in that way, it's a crossroads game. You're 4-3. You're probably going to be a buyer, or you can sit idly by and take abuse from the three of us for sitting on your keister.
Since you're in the music mode, I'll give you an Eddie Van Halen quote. He worships Eric Clapton.
You have an Eddie Van Halen quote on a Buck podcast? Let me hear it.
You started it with Crossroads. Here we go. I play a mean Crossroads. So since this is a mean Crossroads in Cincinnati, heck, I think Steve and I could identify some positions at light. Should trade for or should have already traded for.
Steve, I don't think Buck fans have a lot of confidence that the Bucks are going to be dynamic at the trade deadline no matter what they do in Cincinnati. I just don't think Buck fans are confident about that. Should they be? Should the Bucks make a move? Or in the conservative world of Steve Isbitz, stick with what you got. Take your chances.
Well, I read your column, Ira.
Yes, you did.
I think you're going a little bit over the top here with the crossroads game. Like Lee said, last week was the crossroads. This isn't a crossroads game.
Want to be 3-4 going to Charlotte?
So wait a minute. So if the Bucks, let's just be hypothetical here. If the Bucks lose 31-29 in Cincinnati, all of a sudden they should have a fire sale?
I didn't say they should have a fire sale, but I think it would stop them from being very active in terms of acquiring talent, which I think... if you're 4-3, you should go for the gusto. Have you guys seen the third quarter of this season in terms of the schedule? Oh, my God. It's incredibly passable. You got the Redskins. Who are the Redskins? They're 4-2, but they don't scare anybody.
Sure they do.
Come on. They scare Bruce Allen. That's who they scare. You got the 49ers. You got the Giants. I mean, come on. I know the Giants is a road game. They're giving away the farm over there. And then you got Carolina at home. Lee. Things are set up. If you can be 4-3, worst you can be is 4-4 at the midpoint.
Well, I don't disagree with you at all, but you know what? You bring up the Giants.
Say it again. You don't disagree with me at all. Yeah, you hear that, Isbitz?
I don't disagree with what you're saying, but what you brought up the Giants. Obviously, they're having a fire sale. You can't tell me they couldn't have used that defensive tackle for a fifth-round pick. A fifth-round pick?
Well, you're going to say defensive tackle is a priority for the Bucs? Is that what
upgrade,
you're going to try to tell
upgrade.
Me?
This is an upgrade. If you got a chance to upgrade any position, especially when you're teetering on being a losing or winning franchise, at least this year, for a fifth-round pick?
Well,
name the last time a fifth-round pick's done anything for the Bucs.
You're like Isbits. You haven't read my column on Wednesday, and if you do, you'll see that I singled out certain people
I read
at
your
certain
column.
Positions.
Yeah, he edited it. He read your column.
You got a problem with Gabe Jackson, the right guard of the Oakland Raiders, or you're okay with Caleb Benenock, sir?
You really think Gruden's going to start trading offensive linemen?
Gruden? And anybody's available. Anybody. Nobody's making that trip to Vegas in a couple of years.
Is he trying to push Donald Penn out the door?
No, I didn't mention Donald Penn. He's
well,
too
no,
old.
I'm just saying. He's trying, you know, Steve brought up offensive line, and he's, you know, he drafted a replacement for Donald
Penn. They got
Penn.
Another
he
guard, by the way. You can't even spell the guy's name.
I can spell it.
And he's damn good, too.
Look, Penn's on IR, first of all.
Oh, I'm not interested in Donald
but
Penn.
But second,
too old.
The whole Gruden thing's getting way out of hand. I mean, I love that people, it's fun. It's a lot of fun on social media. But how many guys has he traded?
Would you be shocked if Derek Carr's an ex-Raider by next week? Would you be shocked?
Shocked? Sure. Who's going to trade for Derek Carr?
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, yeah. Jacksonville? Miami, I mean, Denver.
I don't think you're paying attention to Jacksonville. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think he's a middle-of-the-line quarterback, which might be better than what they got.
Yeah, but, you know, Steve does make a point. There's some scuttlebutt underneath the surface that Coughlin is a Bortles fan. For the people, by the way, who are Bucs fans, who are pining for the team to get a team president, why, I don't know, because Coughlin did not build that team. Now you got a team president that worships Blake Bortles. So there you go.
Are you saying, Steve, plain and simply, that you think the Bucs should stand pat no matter what happens on Sunday and not make any moves at the trade deadline?
No, I'm not saying that at all. But I do think that,
of course, you want to know what the cost of these
no,
guys
are. No, I do
know.
Think that what you were saying is if the Bucs win, then they got to make some deals. If they don't win, Team Glazer might chime in and say, dump a couple salaries here, we're going nowhere.
Well, I just think they'll be more receptive to phone calls from another team if you're 3-4 and they want Brent Grimes and they're going to give you a third-round pick. You might do it.
Well, I got a better
you
name
might
for you.
Do it.
I got a better name for you. You predicted he wouldn't be around next year. You predicted this over a year ago. DeSean Jackson.
It's not bad. I'm not taking a sixth-round pick for DeSean Jackson.
No way.
Not doing it.
I agree.
Well, here's a question for you, Ira. Since we're talking trades, it's trade deadlines coming up the end of the month. Amari Cooper went to Dallas for a first-round pick. That's a steal.
It is a steal.
By Gruden.
Yes.
An absolute
steal. But what's he going to do with that pick?
Well, it does still.
See, now that's the other point.
He can still walk into a good player there. That's a steal.
And yeah, that's a good point. You get to trade that pick for a player. You're right.
So if you're Amari saying Cooper, if you get a one for Cooper, you know, what would
Amari Cooper's maybe had a few good games in over the last 2 years. He has not been a special player.
The Bucks.
But my question is, when I saw that, my first thought was, where were the Bucks? They got a plethora of receivers, and Amari Cooper's fetching a one?
I think that's just the case where Dallas overpaid. I know Jerry Jones and Garrett want to explain everything, and they get a lot out of Amari Cooper. He should not have bared a first-round pick on the open market. And now Steve's eyes are rolling in his head because he thinks you get a one for DeSean Jackson. I don't think you can, Steve.
Just picture this. Chucky and Jerry Jones on a conference call over a trade. It's going to be great. You know, I'll just say this about Chucky having a first-round pick. It reminds me of what Jesse Ventura said about
you're quoting Eddie Van Halen and Jesse Ventura in
yes.
the same podcast?
Oh, of course. I'll never forget what Jesse Ventura once said about the missing link. When a missing link was promised $10,000 from Bobby Heenan about some hit job he pulled off, Jesse Ventura said about the missing link getting stiffed on a $10,000 prize. What is the missing link going to do with $10,000? Eat it?
On this podcast, the missing link is Noah Spence. I don't know what he's talking about, Steve. Was that a wrestling reference or something? What's going on with the Kemper? The missing link?
There's a guy I would trade. Spence, you're not going to use him.
You're not going to get anything. You're not going to get
well,
anything, Steve.
You might. Look, Philadelphia, Derek Barnett just went down. They're ripe for overpaying for a guy who, you know, to keep that rotation going a little bit. It's
Steve,
possible.
Let's not overvalue Buck players here. I mean, the Cowboys overpaid for Amari Cooper.
Well, you wrote in your column that Brent Grimes maybe would go for a third-round pick or somebody they should think about trading if they lost in Cincinnati. I just think that's crazy. Why torture Bucks fans like that?
What do you mean torture? He's not signed past next year. I think there's almost no chance he's back next year. the Kemper. Would you agree with that?
Noah Spence?
Brent Grimes. Basically zero chance, I think.
I wouldn't think so because of the draft capital. All the draft capital the Bucks have in
zero
corners.
Chance. He still might interest. Now, you're saying why would the Bucks trade him at 3 and 4? First of all, he's not Brent Grimes in his prime. He's not. He's not 27. He's not. He showed signs of wear and tear, Steve. Hurt a little bit last year. Hurt a little bit this year. He's playing at an okay level, not at a Brent Grimes level. But I think he could be more attractive to another team. And if the Glazers feel that the season's going downhill with Carolina dead ahead and maybe looking at a 3-5 midpoint, if I can get a 3, at least I'm listening, Steve.
There's a picture of the missing link in Bobby Heenan.
Now he's showing me the missing link over here.
We could argue it all day long, Sage. I just think if you trade Grimes, the depth is so bad at cornerback, it's not fair to the fans. Who are you going to throw out there, Ryan Smith and Carlton Davis? Come on, man. You can't do that to the fans. Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Not fair. Not fair at all.
Some of these fans are ripping Brent Grimes. Lee, they don't like the way he's playing.
Yeah, that's not right. That's not right. He's doing fine.
Well, I was listening to...
And I did say I'm not giving up 2 number ones for Patrick Peterson. Give me that one. I said, no, thank you. Not doing it.
No, and I don't think anybody will, but he would be a great fit here if he's really available. I think it would be very exciting. I mean, he can step right in.
I don't care what the Cardinals say. I mean, the guy doesn't want to be there anymore. You want a guy who doesn't want to be there? Cardinals are going nowhere if the Bucks offer a 1, and they won't be the only suitor for Peterson. You can bet that.
Although, I don't think he's available for a lot of reasons. One, Steve Wilks has been on record.
He's arguably the best corner in football. Arguably. He's in the mix.
I wouldn't disagree. I know Steve Wilks has flatly said he's not available. I know Steve Keim has said that. And I heard through the grapevine, through NFL circles, someone who would know, the proverbial someone who would know, he's not on the market. But another example of why I don't think he's on the market, Saints were drooling over him. Well, they went out and got Eli Apple. So if Peterson was remotely available, I don't think they would have pulled the trigger on Eli Apple.
Can you imagine what would have happened if the Saints would have given up a first-round pick and maybe a fourth and gotten Peterson, and now Mike Evans has to go up against Patrick Peterson and Marcus Lattimore. Buck fans be up in arms. How the heck does he end up with a division rival? At least it doesn't appear that they're going to get Peterson.
Now, yeah, I don't think, like Steve said, I don't think the Bucks are in the market for a corner only because of all the draft capital they have. To me, if the Bucks went out and got Peterson, hypothetically, if they did, if he was available first, and if they pulled the trigger on that, basically Jason Light is admitting one of those three corners are bust. And
what if he helps you get to the playoffs and ends a playoff drought?
Aren't there other areas? Wouldn't linebacker be a better get than a cornerback?
I don't think so. I expect Beckwith back.
A defensive tackle?
I expect Beckwith back. I think you can put him in the middle. I think he'd be effective.
When will he be back? That's the question.
When will he be
back? Yeah, it could be Christmas for all we know.
We'll see, Sage. I think I wish we could get to know exactly who Jason Light was fielding calls about, because, you know, people call and ask, and, you know, feelers go back and forth, and you can never really get the truth out of these guys.
And by the way, Peterson wouldn't be a bad nugget to going forward with Grimes going somewhere else next year and hit the free agent market. Now you got Peterson, so you do wave goodbye to Grimes.
Yeah, absolutely, because at this point they're
and the salaries aren't that different. They're not that different.
You don't think, Ira? I'm not saying you're wrong in a fantasy football world, but in an NFL world, you don't think Light wants Hargraves and or Davis and or MJ Stewart to be a starter? That's basically what you're saying if you go out and get Peterson. That's a lot of draft capital, and basically, like I said earlier, that's basically admitting one of your rookies are bust not even halfway through the season. That's awful premature.
I just said he's arguably the best corner in football. You want to make that claim for Carlton Davis in 2 years? MJ Stewart? Vernon Hargraves? Now, come on, Lee.
Well, yeah, but I'm thinking
this guy's a proven elite corner.
Aren't you basically saying Glazers fire me by pulling that off?
Absolutely not.
You don't think so?
You're saying we're going for the gusto, and I can see Ed Glazer cheering on from the sidelines.
You don't think one of the Glazers are saying, why the hell are you spending money on X corner then, if you want Peterson so bad?
Well, you need 3 or 4 corners in this league, the way things are. But you don't have a stud right now, and Peterson gives you that guy that can roam around. And I don't think we'll see Julio Jones having his way with the Bucs secondary if you got Patrick Peterson following him around a little
Follow
bit.
Follow-up question.
I think that helps.
Follow-up question.
They got to play Odell Beckham later this year.
Would you say the Bucs are a damn near cinch to get to the NFC Championship game with Patrick Peterson? You have to ask yourself that.
No, I can't say that. I can't say that. But I think he markedly enhances their postseason prospects. markedly.
It's all about who you have to give up or what you have to give up. You just never know what the parameters of a deal would be.
If one of those corners, those rookie corners, would be swapped for Patrick Peterson, different story. That's a different story. If the Cardinals said, hey, we'll give you Peterson for Carlton Davis.
I don't want to break your bubble, but you're not getting Peterson for Davis in a number five. You're not doing it. I was going to say a second.
I mean, if you could trade a one for Peterson.
One.
Yeah, two ones.
Yeah, I understand. If you could trade a one for Peterson and simultaneously get a four for Grimes, that makes it a little more interesting for me. Just, you know, on the surface. But
so that's a quasi agreement with Sage.
Who wouldn't want Patrick Peterson, Ira? I mean, we're still sitting here as fans. So who the hell wouldn't want that guy on your team?
I also threw out Landon Collins. Now, why? Because I saw a tweet from Landon Collins today saying, "Get me out of here. I don't want to be here."
Basically, everybody that wants a new contract is saying, "Get me out of here."
Lee, you got to take advantage of the bottom feeders. That's what you do.
Oh yeah,
The Bucks are not bottom feeders.
I'm just living in the real world. I'm not anti Patrick Peterson in any way. I'm just living in the real world of NFL politics. If a GM says, "Hey, all these draft picks I got, I spent all these draft picks. You know what? We still got to get it first. We got to still go out and get Patrick Peterson." If I'm an owner, I'm like, "What the hell am I employing you for?"
If I'm the Giants, I'm not trading Landon Collins, but if he's available, I'm interested.
Well, there are a lot of people yelling trade Fitz to Jacksonville and other stuff like that. The only reason to trade Ryan Fitzpatrick is if he looks Jason Light in the face and says, "I'm 100% not playing next year. This is my last year. Send me wherever you want. This is my last year." If he says that, then by all means, deal him. But
Should there be a resurrection if the Bucks go with Ryan Griffin as the backup next year?
Resurrection.
Is there a resurrection over that?
We never.
But I'm saying
the Bucks are going to rise from the dead.
I mean insurrection. Sorry.
Oh, insurrection.
Is there an insurrection if Ryan Griffin is the backup?
Maybe.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's unfair or inaccurate to say that there's people in that locker room that want Fitz to start.
I mean, I give Fitzpatrick as much credit as you guys do for that 2-0 start. He was fabulous.
He's a great backup, but if he says, "I don't want to play next year," then deal him. So, maybe they get something for somebody who's desperate. You can't lose during the big win sales event at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. General Manager Brian Danahy has your chance now to lease Escalades just $7.89 a month. Get to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, for your chance to win big. Visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com to shop online immediately. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. The dealer has all the offer details on the Escalades. And, of course, Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October means Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa is giving proceeds from every vehicle sold to My Hope Chest, a wonderful charity that helps breast cancer survivors. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, you know Ira was just there hanging out with John Cooper. They are on Causeway Boulevard, just east of 75. That's Hillsborough County's other Cadillac dealership. There's only two. They have 2019 Cadillac XT4s now in stock and ready for immediate delivery. Fantastic crossover. You see the ad on JoeBucksFan.com. Get yourself to EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, and start your shopping search there. We so appreciate the support of Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, who present all of Ira's work, his three columns on JoeBucksFan.com every week, his podcasts, and you can always see Ira around town wearing his Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon gear. Thank you, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ira, I wanted to call your attention, though, to something in the last podcast. I wasn't there, and I was listening.
Speaking of resurrections.
I started punching the wall when I heard this.
Before you do that, why weren't you there? Don't you owe our listeners a little explanation?
Lee said I was incapacitated.
What a word that is. It could mean you had the grip. You had the runs. You had the grip. I don't know what's going on. You had to go to the dentist.
Only on the Ira Coffin podcast do you get a reference for the runs.
The grip.
Can you spell grip? Spell grip.
G-R-I-P.
No, I don't believe that's right.
G-R-I-P-P-E?
I believe it's I-P-P-E.
Yeah,
when
it's
it comes
a special.
To a medical,
my favorite
condition.
Thing is when, back when you were a kid, Ira, you told us here that in Brooklyn, PS, whatever.
131.
131. you're going to school and you don't have health class. They call it hygiene. And you're learning how to clip your toenails.
They absolutely call it hygiene.
Clean your ears. And things
I flunked it. I had to take it 3 times.
We already could tell that.
Didn't have speed stick with you?
What's your question, Steve?
All right, look. You were on this podcast. I swear I lost it, Ira.
He was plying me with tater tots. My head was spinning.
You're sitting there telling the good folks that the Bucks should show the money to Kwan Alexander, that he's a young guy, and there's no reason to think he can't come back from this, and they should pay him, work something out, and bring him on back.
I believe you're misinterpreting me.
Well, then explain yourself.
I said I fully expect Kwan Alexander to come back next year, and I think he's going to be a Buck for a long time. I didn't give any timetable for showing Kwan the money, but I said I expect him back for the 2019 season. I don't think that's unreasonable. The guy's not 33 years old. We know his passion for the game. And I don't believe I gave any sense of when you should show him some kind of lucrative extension.
All right, well, then let's just talk about it now then, right? Free agency comes up roughly 4 months after he'll have surgery. How do you approach this if you're the Bucks?
I might take a wait-and-see attitude because I don't think he's going to cash in on the free agent market coming off a knee injury. So I know it sounds harsh, but you say you test the market, get back to us. If he gets a good offer, I think about matching it. But in December, I'm not giving the guy $67 million.
Oh, yeah, you want to see if he can walk first, much less.
The timing, the dirt cutter said it the other day. The timing's terrible.
So you like the guy. You like the guy. And you'd like to see him stay with the Bucks, but you tell him to go test the market? I mean,
it happens.
You're going to run that risk then if you like him? Hypothetically, if the team likes him, you're going to let him go to talk to Pete Carroll, who says, man, I've been the biggest fan of yours since God knows when, and we play defense here, and come on, Kwan. And
he's also coming off an ACL.
We'll give you a one-year deal for $4 million, and now you prove it to us.
Well, I mean, like can always – there's always the franchise tag, but I think that's for Donovan Smith, honestly, but there's something that happened since you and I recorded that podcast. And just something spooks me about that injury. What I mean by that is, and I've written about this, I think I spoke about this on the podcast, the way not just the Bucks reacted, but the Browns. Yeah, you saw it, Ira. I'm guessing it was during the commercial break. Dudes were on their knees, had their helmets off, heads in their hands. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw for a quote-unquote, for a guy walking off the field on his own power.
And his bit soared on a 17-inch television. There's no question
Well,
about
I think
it.
They might have been on a commercial break. I mean, guys were shook up.
I'm killing you today, Isbit.
Guys were shook up, and not just with the Bucks, the Browns. And then Cutter, after we recorded
so
that.
So you're saying that goes to the severity of the injury?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm going to add to that. I'm going to add to that here. Monday night, Dan Lucas, WFLA TV sports reporter, WFLA put this up on their website, you know, his weekly sit down with Cutter. And Cutter said in that interview, and it was after we recorded that podcast, Cutter said in an interview, he's never seen a team, I'm putting words in his mouth saying freaked out, he's never seen a team disturbed, react the way they did to Kwan. And now Cutter in his day after press conference said that they were flat, the postgame press conference said they were flat coming out in the third quarter. Well, Monday, he said, he explained why they were flat. He goes, they were shook up by Kwan. But then when he was talking to Lucas, he said, he's been around football a while. He's never seen a team react like that.
I understand.
So,
but
give you how guys reacted. I was in San Diego when Cecil Shorts literally shattered his knee. Hasn't played a snap of football since. They didn't react like that.
Steve, I don't see any suggestion that the MRI shows that it's a much more severe torn ACL than others. I haven't heard that. If I hear that's a problem. But the reaction of players on the field, first of all, it's a reflection of how much Kwan Alexander is the face of this defense. That's number one. And by looking at him writhing on the ground, I don't think these players had any idea how if it's more severe than a normal torn ACL.
Well, notice how the Browns reacted.
I understand that, Lee, but I think you're reaching on that one. I want to know what the MRI showed.
Well, I don't think Lee's reaching, but I think ultimately the players, especially when you factor in the Browns, they are reacting to Kwan's reaction. So if this was a painful situation.
First major injury the guy's ever had.
If he was in extreme pain and crying, they might have reacted that way. But it may not mean that he's more injured than another guy.
Yeah, I just remember in San Diego, it was an ugly injury. See, again, he had his knee shattered. And he couldn't even stand up, much less walk off the field like Kwan did. He had to be carted off. And dudes were upset, but not like Sunday. That's what leads me to believe is in the NFL, nor the Bucks, nor Quan are at any liberty to give full disclosure of what's wrong.
I think another question is what impact is this injury going to have on the Bucks over the final 10 games?
Well, sure. I'll throw this at you then, Sage. Look, Quan popped for lost four games with a PED suspension his first year. Last year he missed 8 games.
Didn't they go 0-4 during that suspension?
It's not relevant. Not relevant.
Whoa, not relevant.
Not to what I'm
going to
say here.
All right, go ahead.
Last year they were he missed half the season with a hamstring. This year he's blown his knee out. The guy's injury prone. I mean, you can or you know, you can combine it however you want.
Missing
that's
games
not
prone.
A reliable presence for your football team. And I think if Kendall Beckwith, let's just say he plays the last 4 games and plays well, you know, maybe he gets in and with 6 games left and plays a little.
He played well until he hit that rookie wall.
If he can replace Quan effectively and show it in the last 4 games, I think Quan's just going to go.
You might be onto something there, Steve. You know, look, his passion's off the chart. His enthusiasm, his energy. But he's not a finished product, Quan Alexander. Now, he was having a good game against the Browns. He was. But he hasn't been tearing it up this season. He's playing for one of the worst defenses in football and playing in, you know, the middle spot. He's not polished, Lee. He's very aggressive to the point where he gets out of position. And at best, he's the third best middle linebacker in the division behind Keekly and Deion Jones. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, I'm going to throw something at you. Bucks fans are, and I don't know if it's a majority or not, but certainly the vocal Bucks fans, they're outraged because they're basically labeled Jameis a bust. He's got 3 years. This is what he's going to be. Can't you apply the same measure to Quan if after 3 years he is what he's going to be?
His mistakes aren't as obvious as the guys that play under center because when Jameis fumbles or throws an interception, even though a guy ran the wrong pattern, and that's important to note. You know, you can't pin that one on the quarterback necessarily.
I'm going to piggyback on what you just said. Piggyback, not piggy bank.
Okay.
I was like, money?
Yeah, money.
It's not as easy to tell when a middle linebacker makes a mistake. It's not as easy to tell. Unless he misses a tackle.
Yeah, yes. I'm a Jameis guy. I think people understand.
Yes,
I'm a Jameis guy.
Yes, you are.
But you could use that excuse, that particular pass or that particular pick or whatever. It's not Jameis' fault because of X, Y, and Z. You can say it to every quarterback. You really could. I mean, I'm sure Brady and I'm sure Roethlisberger have passes picked off, incomplete, whatever, where it wasn't their fault. So I can't give Jameis a total pass on a pick where that wasn't his fault because he ran. Okay, fine. What about the other one? Yeah. Now, I'm going to be fair to Quan here. You know, I just said something about Quan. Like, you know, after 3 seasons, if people say, this is what Jameis is, shouldn't the same standard be applied to Quan? To be fair, could you argue his best game was with Duffner as defensive coordinator? His best game this year, that is, was with Duffner. Could you also argue, and I don't know if it's a good argument, I'm just throwing it out there, that he played better with Lovie than he did with Mike Smith?
And Levante came up with a strong game on Sunday.
Yes. So maybe
and I said on this podcast last week that the Duffner influence was going to show up in the role that the linebackers play. Those are the guys that he feels he can lean on and that he knows the best. I don't want to change subjects here on you because, you're burrowing in like a mollux. But,
a what?
A mollux. let me throw this out at you, and this is going to – I'm glad you guys are sitting down.
Okay.
They are on pace. I'm not making this up because I'm good in math. I went 98, 99, and 100 on my 3 math regions.
All right, come on. What do you got?
In high school. I just want you to know that. Mr. DeKemper? They are on pace to finish the season minus 24.
Ooh, that's...
Minus 24. Turnover ratio right now, minus 9, 6 games. Do the math. That's 1.5 a game over 16. That's minus 24. You know who's minus 24? The teams that go 3-13. The teams that go 4-12, 5-11. Look out.
Here's a guy who's good in math, and what's he do? He goes into finances, goes into economics, goes into business. Nah, he's a sports writer.
That's right.
Well, there's two big elements to that.
And Cutter says it's the number one factor in winning games.
Cutter, Schmutter, whatever. Every coach says
Schiano
that.
Schiano had a tremendous turnover ratio and won 4 games.
And went 7-9 his first season.
7-9.
There's two things going on with that. Number one is the Bucks are on pace for 29 interceptions, which is an extraordinary number. And since your Bucks that you covered back in 88, Testaverde and Joe Ferguson threw 36 combined.
Joe Burgess.
And what's the other side of that?
There have been very few that have thrown 30 combined. And the Bucks are at that pace. The other side is they've got one pick. And the lowest total we've had in the last 20 years, I just wrote about this, is the Lions, which were winless, had four picks.
So the Bucks, any team in the NFL,
2 decades, the Lions, 4 picks. That's the lowest. We've had some with 6, one with 5, but the Bucks are on pace now for 2.
You would think that's going to change if the pass rush can duplicate what it did Sunday against Baker Mayfield. You would think the picks will start coming. Derek Brooks always tells me, once you get takeaways, they come in bunches.
Mike Smith always said that.
Yeah, they come in bunches. And we saw it during the 5-game winning streak in 2016.
Sure. And one thing that's also out there that sort of comes in bunches, I don't know what to make of it really, but Mike Evans is at an incredible pace of catching targets. He's well over 70% catching the balls thrown to him. Now, career, he's at about 54%.
That's well above his career pace.
Right. And Brooks, even when he was on with Steve Dumick, the big dog, years ago, it was probably the most negative I've ever heard Brooks say. I think it was after the 2016 season. He was talking about Mike Evans and said, look, the guy catches 50% of the balls thrown his way. That's not good enough. No way, no how. You can't do that. Now he's up over 70. Is Evans going to tail back to the 60s, which would still be an excellent year for a wide receiver? I hope not.
Regress to the means?
But, you know, there are some of those things out there. But the Bucs should get more turnovers. Jameis can't throw 2 picks a game. That's got to cut back.
That's why they keep talking about self-inflicted errors in the locker room, Lee. That's the reason. They have the number one total offense team in football. Better than the Rams. Better than the Saints. Number one, Buccaneers.
Wow.
That's never happened.
You know what I want to see this team do? Honest to goodness, you know, small things. What I mean by that is I want to see them get first and goal and not get a friggin' penalty. Wouldn't that be nice? A first and goal series and not get a penalty? Can we see that, Bucks?
Look, Steve,
can we see that?
Steve, you love to slap me around, but you can't argue this point. They got to play a heck of a lot better than they played against Cleveland they're going anywhere.
Oh, gosh.
That game might have set football back about 5 years over there, Lee.
I've seen worse games in recent history, but that was not good at all. Neither team deserved to win that
game.
Steve,
did it look any better on the big screen?
No, I've watched it a lot of different ways, the film. I mean, look, I believe they scored 10 points on their last 10 offensive drives. I mean, you can't do that. It was just
10 possessions.
Yeah, last 10 possessions. It just a lot of things not going well there. Now, today, that rolls us into today. But first, let me make sure everybody knows you are wearing the royal blue.
Yes, I am.
Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon shirt, looking very sharp, Sage.
Goes with the blue eyes.
That's the same same color as your new Fox 13 shirt that you wore Sunday on Tailgate Sunday. And, of course, it was great to hear those offers from our great friends at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, which their website, edmorsecadillactampa.com, and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Those are Hillsborough County's only Cadillac dealerships, and tremendous service at Ed Morse, top to bottom, family-owned. You just have to check them out. Now, Sage, we got a game on Sunday, the Bengals. Now, I have a short question for you that I think is important. It's a hypothetical, but it's sort of based in reality. If Chandler Catanzaro opened up the game with a 59-yard kick and then missed a 40-yarder and then a key extra point, wouldn't everybody be running him out of town just because he did it in reverse? Why is he still here?
Answer's yes.
Why is he still here?
Answer's yes. They might have brought guys in this week. I don't know. I would have. I think he's hanging by a thread. I guess the 59-yarder saved his job, Lee. But he's already missed 3 extra points. And when Justin Tucker missed an extra point, people are going crazy. That's the first one I think he's ever missed in his career. And the 1 point becomes 2 points, right, Lee?
And three.
And this team's in a lot of tight games, as Cutter likes to point out. Look at all these close games. Canzaro's driving Cutter up a freaking wall, and I don't blame him.
I think every kicker is driven.
Stop pushing those kicks to the right. He's missing everything to the right. Come on, Isbits.
I don't know.
Your daughter could make those kicks.
You missed 3 extra points in 6 games after, remember, he missed one in preseason, and Cutter was like, oh, I told Chandler, okay, you got that out of the way.
That was his forte. He hits the extra points.
And it's been a big factor in 2 games, and he missed a game-winning kick, and he's still here. I mean, there's a lot of football left for this guy to have a mental breakdown. We haven't even gotten into the rough weather yet. Suppose it's 53 in Charlotte next week with the wind blowing. We still have to go to New
York.
By
the way, Lee, you saw that
kick. Cincinnati's getting chilly.
You've seen that 59-yarder a bunch of times. It probably might have been good from 64. It might have been.
Made that by a razor.
That was a great kick. I mean, you can't tell me. Fantastic.
That cutter had no choice. What's he going to do, punt?
It's just a
tough. Punt, you can't win that game.
How about it's 4th and 12? How about you throw? You got nothing in the playbook, Dirk, with all those weapons on 4th and 12?
Oh, he's setting me up. He's trying to get me going here.
I mean, we don't have to go back, but you could that
can't
game.
Can't you throw Cutter a crumb?
What
can't
crumb?
You throw him a crumb. He tried a field goal and he made it. They won the game.
I know. I was talking about Catanzaro. You're talking about Cutter. All right.
Oh.
Gerald McCoy, you were sprinting out on the practice field, Ira.
Sprinting.
He's not there today. It's Wednesday.
Neither is Vinny Curry.
Neither is Vinny Curry.
And I saw both of them wearing a jersey in the locker room.
And Peyton Barber looks like he's walking gingerly.
Peyton Barber not practicing. On the TV copy, you saw Peyton Barber go out twice.
Yeah.
And clearly he was hurt. They didn't use him late in the game. So which is the biggest loss here? And, you know, last week you said no McCoy, no big deal. Where are we now?
Well, I didn't say necessarily no big deal, but as it turned out, Lee, they played their best defensive game of the season. No McCoy. Nassib came out of nowhere. He was probably the star of the game.
Do the G-boys, that get their attention?
Yes, it gets their attention. Of course it gets their attention. Steve, correct me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
If Gerald McCoy's not here next year, we'll have no effect on the cap. There will be no cap hit. Am I correct? I believe I am.
Correct. Yeah, they don't owe him any money.
That doesn't help Gerald McCoy's case. They just drafted a guy in the first round to take his spot down the line. Well, Lee, in the NFL, down the line can happen a lot quicker. I'm not saying they're better off without Gerald McCoy, but last week's game didn't help his cause. Lee, didn't help. And no. He's got plenty of skeptics out there.
Oh.
Plenty of skeptics.
There's one guy going off on Steve, mostly me, but Steve and I on Twitter said we're an apologist for him. And I'm like, well, I'm just telling you what the NFL coaches tell me. Well, I said, if you want me to lie to make you feel better.
And by the way, Steve, and I think it's worth pointing out after you're trying to tear me down all podcast.
What are you talking about?
That Mr. Duffner's elevation and promotion has led to the utilization of Jason Pierre-Paul in a versatile manner. Because quite often, when I was checking out the specs and not looking at the cheerleaders, Mr. DeKemper, I saw Jason Pierre-Paul lining up at defensive tackle, and so did you.
I got you, Sage.
And he was quite effective in that regard.
All right, Sage.
By the way, the cheerleaders got rid of their yoga pants. I'm sure you noticed.
Yoga pants are gone, baby.
Now, here's one for you. Speaking of Duffner, Monday night when Cutter had his sit-down with Lucas, the six-minute video, we have it on JoeBucksFan.com.
I never saw a man get so much out of a six-minute video between Cutter and Dan Lucas.
Well, one of the things Cutter said was, you know, Lucas asked him about the defense, and Duffner in particular, and Cutter said, referring to Duffner, he didn't, quote, over-communicate, end quote. Remember that was Mike Smith's famous crutch? Well, no communication, or we're having trouble communicating. And Eric Cutter is praising Duffner, said he didn't over-communicate. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that's some kind of shot at Mike Smith. Cutter's not that kind of guy. Smith and him are good buddies. He's not going to do that to Smith. But what I took from that, and I want your feedback on this, what I took from that is, could there possibly be, you know, a lot of fans, I don't think it means much, maybe I'm dead wrong, a lot of fans took issue with Smith being upstairs in the coach's box rather than being downstairs. Could there be an issue with whatever Mike Smith barked in his headset, the translation to the assistant on the field, to Quan Alexander on the field, to the other 10 players on the defense? Could something have been lost in translation? That's what they're talking about with
possible,
communication?
It's possible, but I would look more at the scheme and the philosophy in terms of being more aggressive, less cushion, take the straight jacket off a guy like Levante David, let him do his thing. Boy, that forced fumble was a beautiful play, an absolutely beautiful play. But Steve, a couple of guys in the locker room, I believe it was MJ Stewart and Levante David, and you aren't on a podcast Monday because I mentioned it, so I don't have your take on it. But when I asked him about the difference with Duffner and, you know, what characterized Duffner's first game, he simplified things. What does that mean, Steve? What does that mean?
It means everybody should go back and read your Monday column, which was excellent, Ira. I thought Levante saying that it made a difference having Duffner on the field said a lot. That was in your column. A lot of good stuff there. Everybody should check that out.
Those are not quotes off a quote sheet, Mr.
I understand. That's Mr. you in there. That's you in Levante David's grill, probably before you even got dressed.
And for our listeners, they wonder what a quote sheet is. The team, whether it be the Bucks, whatever the home team is, supplies quotes from players and coaches.
Give the Bucks credit for doing it. I mean, it's, you know, they don't have to do it.
Well, I think that's required. Every team does that. Every home team, I think.
But the Bucks do it during the week, too. They do a good job with that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about game quotes. Well, I was going to say they're team-issued, and generally team-issued quotes are not going to have anything remotely controversial in them.
I understand.
So, Sage, and, you know, that David play, I'm glad you brought it up, because aside from being a great play, that really, though, that's not a Mike Smith play or a Mark Duffner play. That's just a guy chasing a quarterback and putting out a tremendous effort and using his talent.
Levante's very good at forcing fumbles.
Yeah,
he's very good at it.
Now, didn't Cutter say that he thought Mayfield was going to score on that play? Not just get a first down, but score on that play?
Yeah, he was worried about
it. And then David came out of nowhere and just tremendous.
And just to show you how stats could be manipulated or twisted a little bit, that does not count as a turnover because the ball was fourth down and they lost it on downs because it went out of bounds on a fourth down.
So it's not a takeaway. Not a takeaway.
So it's not a takeaway, yeah. For your ratio there.
God knows they need takeaways.
Even though effectively it was a huge takeaway.
I believe they have six for the season. Six.
Yeah, it's bad news. All right, so Sage, we're going to Cincinnati, and we got to make picks. And let's see.
That's an average team, Steve. That's a perfectly average football team. The way
the Chiefs ran up and down the field on them, I don't know if they're average.
Well, the Chiefs can do that too.
I got a few fun facts for you, Sage.
But the Bengals think they can win that division, Steve. They're motivated.
Well, of course. Of course. Look, they're four and three.
That's still a Pittsburgh Baltimore division.
So with the picks, I'm 4-2. You guys are 3-3. We all had the Browns last week, so no movement
there. We all had the Browns.
No.
Yeah. We all had the Bucks.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Take it easy. They don't tell Javier what's going on.
So here we are. And let me say this about the Bengals. Ira, fun fact, they have allowed more points this year than the Bucs. Now, they've played one more game, but still, that's a lot of points. And
as a math major, that's dirty pool over there.
Well, every element of their defense is bad. Run defense, pass defense, it's all bad.
Is Michael Johnson still running around over there?
Michael Ghost Johnson still starts. He hasn't missed a start. He's only missed about one game in the last 4 years for the Bengals. Marvin Lewis loves him. There was even a weird story. He agreed to be cut at the end of this year and not sign with anybody else because the Bengals were playing some roster games, and they said, we'll sign you back at the same price. Trust us. And they did. They love him up there.
And he loves Cincinnati.
He's sackless right now this season.
He's a strange cat. He's a strange cat.
Yeah. Please.
So here come the Bucks, and you know the story. Healthy offense minus Peyton Barber, maybe, which would be a huge blow, even though the running game is atrocious. Well, where are we, Ira? What's your pick? What's your call?
I'll start it off this week, Lee.
There he goes.
I'm going to go with the Bengals. It's a short week off of Sunday night, but I still think they're motivated. Geno Atkins is a terror. He could abuse Benenock.
It's Allie this week. So Allie.
Well, he plays both sides. You know, without Beckwith coming in, the run defense, I think, falls. And Joe Mixon, it can be effective for Cincinnati. A.J. Green's a monster. Huge size difference on a Brent Grimes. So I'm not convinced the Bucks have turned the corner based on a win against Cleveland. I'm going to go with the Bengals 30-24.
I'm going to say something that may disturb Nico, but in the long run, she'll be happy. Size does not matter with Brent Grimes.
Okay.
At least Steve caught the double entendre.
That's a hell of a line, Lee. you're up, please.
Yeah,
you're up.
The Bucks will win. The Bucks will win 34-20. The Bucks will find a way. Mark Duffner will find a way. I'm a big Devontae Bond fan. The other linebacker that started, he played well, even though he doesn't
Taylor?
Yeah. I was going to say
Darius Taylor.
Yeah, he doesn't like us reporters. I even tried to, after a win, I tried to talk to him. He blew me off. But anyway, he's an underrated linebacker, I think. I think they'll be okay. Matter of fact, wasn't it Devontae Bond that got the stop on the goal line stand? Wasn't he the one that got the stop on fourth down?
Yes.
Yeah, so they'll find a way on at linebacker.
And you think they'll gash the Bengal defense?
Yes. Yes, with the weapons the Bucks have, the only thing that will stop the Bucks on offense is the head coach. Just like he did in Atlanta.
That's a better line than you came up with from Eddie Van Halen over there, Lee.
Just like he did at Atlanta. And just like he did last week against Cleveland, Dirk Cutter wants to play Lucy, pull the ball away. If he doesn't do that, the Bucks will run the score up on him.
You heard him, Steve. 34-20 Bucks.
I am taking the Bucks, and I'll tell you why, Sage. Two reasons. One, Jameis has found a way to start fast. I think that's been lost in the last couple of games. He's found a way to start games quickly, and that was probably his number one issue coming into this season. So somehow he's solved that, and the Bucks still have too many weapons for just about any team out there, let alone a garbage defense. I am very concerned about the kicking game. I think that there's no hope there, but I do think the Bucks will put up some points. And
since he can move the ball, Steve.
Since he can move the ball, but they're, I don't know. I still think the Duffner energy and excitement's going to do some good things. So I'm going to go Bucks 30 and Cincinnati 27.
So that will put them in buyer's mode going into the trade deadline over there, Steven, whether you like it or not.
Maybe. I don't know. But there'll be a lot of confidence if they win two in a row, though. I don't think they'll be in any kind of mode. But I'll say this in advance. I think, barring a problem, I think Carolina's going to mow them over in a horrible, horrible way in a couple of weeks.
Well, the third,
meaning barring major changes from both teams.
If this team can keep its motivation, the third quarter of this year looks very promising for the Bucks.
Why am I not scared about Carolina? The Bucks already have they should have had two division wins.
Well, it's a road game, Lee. It's a road game.
Last year with a horrible team, they came a Swaggy Baker dumbass play away from beating them.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I'm not scared of Carolina. I don't know. Maybe I'm way off base.
Steve,
I usually
a little opportunity for Ronald Jones this week against the Bengals? A little opportunity?
Well, look, if Barber can't go, they're going to have to trust him. But maybe they don't. We saw what Dirk Cutter did with Jaquizz Rogers years ago on Monday night, a couple years ago.
I guess
with
the three of them split time last week. The three.
Yeah, but that's mostly because Barber was hurt. I mean, that's really what was going on.
When's the last time Rogers had a decent run?
I don't know.
Well, I'm talking like 5 yards.
I don't know. As Cutter says, running back's got to get the ball a lot. So
speaking of at Carolina, that was the Jaquizz Rogers game.
Two years ago, that was.
Yeah, 2 years
night.
Ago.
Yep.
He almost single-handedly won
that game. Yeah,
that's
what I was referencing. Yeah,
oh,
when,
okay,
when they gave him the first six carries, and he had
30 carries.
Yeah,
or
I think 32 carries for 102 yards.
Someone, I wish I could remember, but it was on Twitter. I think, isn't Jameis's record like 13-2 if he attempts less than 30 passes?
I think it is.
It's something crazy.
And it's really bad when he's attempting more than 40. But he won last week. He did win.
That's
Steve,
why,
Steve. I think it's worth mentioning the Browns committed 14 penalties on Sunday. 14. They, in some ways, it was like the old Browns.
Sure. Yeah, it was a terribly sloppy game. We all can't wait to get that just the taste of that bad football out of our mouths. Now, we're going to run out on this. We'll go around the horn, Ira. I'll start. Lee can go, and then you can finish it up, and then I'm going to hit the stop button, and we'll see everybody next week. You want to subscribe, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, listen to your podcast, catch
up. How are we doing on the charts, Steve? How are we doing?
There's been some changes. You're no longer up there on Google Play, Ira. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on. Politics.
Nancy Grace?
An election year. A lot of political things are heating up. Those political podcasts are kicking.
I'll be back with a vengeance after Election Day over there, Lee.
We'll see how you do after the midterms. One thing you're looking for in this game, from a Bucs standpoint, one thing outside of anything we've mentioned already, one thing I'd like to see in this game, Ira, number one, is I believe the Browns punted 10 times in the last game. DeSean Jackson, where's our electric punt returner? Let the guy loose. I mean, you're not throwing to him as much with Jameis in there. He's healthy. Let him go on the turf. Let's use the playmakers and start winning some games behind these explosive guys.
Similar to that. And I mentioned this 2 weeks ago. You know, Dirk Cutter pulled the ball, pulled a Lucy on their offense, and ran some high school gimmick play, which I love the creativity, but you can kind of scratch your head like, wait, really? With Evans and OJ and DeSean? Huh? Last week, last past Sunday, I was borderline outraged that you decide to kick a 40-yard field goal with a guy who's already struggling when you had all these weapons, 45 seconds, and two timeouts. With 45 seconds, two timeouts, ball's on the 24, with all those weapons, and you decide to go with the kicker. Dirk, either you trust Jameis or you don't trust Jameis. I think you trust him, otherwise you wouldn't have had him drop back 66 times. Let him and his weapons finish the game if it's on the line. Don't go Jimmy High School trick play. Don't go crappy kicker. Kickers have burned you enough. Let your talent win the game.
All right, and I'm going to put in a request for Messrs. Munkin and Cutter as they hone in on their game plan for Sunday. I want them to resurrect
Not insurrect.
Resurrect a play call from the dustbin. The dustbin of 2015. It's called a screen pass. Resurrect it with Ronald Jones. It's not a hard pass to catch. And it gets him the ball in space with a couple of guys in front of him, a la Ali Marpet and perhaps Jensen. And let's see what the kid can do. Open space. A well-timed screen pass, well-executed, can turn into a 35-yard gain just like that. Oh, I can't believe I did that.
Who used to use that as their bread and butter play?
Packers? Favre?
You're close. They were Cowboys. Tom Landry and Cowboys. They all the time.
I want to see a screen pass, Isbitz.
I've never seen a man so impressed that he could snap before.
I can do it with my left and right hand.
Now I'm going to whistle.